Hello and welcome to the Talk About Jazz podcast with Doug Hall. I'm your host, Doug Hall. Our guest is Matthew Stevens. Mr. Stevens is a critically acclaimed Grammy Award-winning guitarist and producer. His latest upcoming album, Matthew Stevens, will be released May 8th on Candid Records. We will listen to a portion of two cuts from this recording later in the podcast. So welcome, Matthew. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Doug. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
And so what I like to do with the audience is certainly to cover each musician's background as best I can, obviously leaving out certain portions, but I try to cover highlights. So let's talk a little bit about Matthew Stevens' background at this point. A leading artist of his generation, Grammy nominated, and I'm going to reference a few quotes just to kind of give quick snippets of his style and his music and his effect. Quote, Matthew Stevens' singular style dissolves the demarcation lines between jazz, rock, and ambient music. Now that came from Mojo magazine. Stevens' music is, quote, honest and soulful, and that comes from Pitchfork magazine. And is described as, quote, music that advances the ideals of modern jazz. And that is from NPR. So wonderful flavors to all those quotes regarding your musical talent and directions. In addition to his critically acclaimed solo albums, Woodwork, Proverbal, Pittsburgh, and In Common 1, 2, and 3 with Walter Smith III, Stevens' songs and guitar playing are featured on over 70 albums, including those by artists Esperanza Spalding, Terry Lynn Carrington, Dave Douglas, Anna B. Savage, Jamar Williams, Sean Jones, Linda May Han Oh, Harvey Mason, and Jana Green. Steven has worked as a guitarist with producers Quincy Jones, Glenn Ballard, and Tony Visconti. As a producer, he worked with Esperanza Spalding's albums Exposure and the Grammy-winning 12 Little Spells, and on Terry Lynn Carrington's Grammy-nominated album Waiting Game. Matthew is currently living in Boston, an associate professor at Berklee College of Music in the departments of ensemble and guitar. I hope I got that right.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Great. Well, let's dive into your upcoming release, again, entitled, self-titled, Matthew Stevens, which is due to be released May 8th on Candid Records. Before we listen to Alberta and Hazy, the two cuts chosen, we'll listen to a portion of each. Could you help the audience into the concept of this album by talking a bit about the central focus that the song Alberta represents as it relates to the concept of this self-titled album? And I might just quickly use one of your quotes that relates to that. Quote, it's a song that evokes a deep longing every time I hear it play.
Yeah, thank you, Doug. I think that Alberta is one of those songs, as demonstrated by all these wonderful versions of it that have been recorded by artists like Doc Watson, Odetta, Bob Dylan, Bob Gibson, etc., that can serve as a vessel to kind of hold whatever it is that you need it to at any different point in your journey as a listener or as a musician. So this is a song that I recorded before with the guitarist Jeff Parker on an album that I produced celebrating Doc Watson's centennial, called I Am a Pilgrim, Doc Watson at 100. And this was an opportunity to record it again as I got more familiar with the song and as so much in my life had changed between first recording it with Jeff and then recording it with Anna and Josh a number of years later. An enormous amount of stuff in my personal life, my working life, had gone through an enormous amount of transition. And the song, although similar in many ways, was able to be somewhere that I could put all that new feeling and and new perspective. And it was a great opportunity to record it with Anna, who I've admired since I first met her over a decade ago.
Okay. So a lot of deep resonance in this song and his relationship with you and this upcoming self-titled album.
Absolutely.
Well, why don't we move into listening to a bit of Alberta and then a second selection, which will be Hazy. And then we can have a chance to respond to both. So we'll give the listeners an opportunity first to listen to a portion of Alberta.
Alberta, let your hair hang low. I saw her first on an April morn as she walked through the mist in a field of hay. Her hair lit the world with its golden glow, and the smile on her face burned my heart away. Alberta, let your hair hang low. Alberta, let your hair hang low. I'll give you more gold than your apron can hold, if you'll only.
Wow, Matthew, that's a very soulful and very moving emotional vocal performance.
I would agree. Anna is, she's really something else and has a quality to her voice that I have yet to hear anywhere else.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking back to your reference to it being a blues standard that the legendary Lead Belly played, and listening to him and looking at his personal history and his effect on that whole period of music, and how she seems to go back in time a bit in her emotion and her voice to me.
I really agree with that. I think that listening to that vocal, it really could be something that's recorded any time in the last 80 years.
Right, right. You know, on the porch, somewhere, nowhere.
Yes.
In trouble, getting into trouble, wishing for relief. All those things. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, gifted vocalist. Yeah. And wonderful choice of a song that has that emotional power there, and the yearning and all that sort of visual scene of that whole part of their lives, of the African-American life, going back in time. So,
absolutely.
Well, thank you for choosing that. And we are going to listen to a second cut entitled Hazy, which was released April 8th as a single. And Matthew, do you want to set that up a little bit for us before we listen to it?
Yes. This was the first song that I wrote for this record. And it was on the heels of coming back from a recording session with Milton Nascimento and Esperanza Spalding in Rio, where we were recording a lot of Milton's music for a record that Esperanza was producing. And it was an incredibly inspiring trip and recording. And I was struck by the depth of his music. It's music that I was familiar with, but not to the degree with which I became after spending a month working on it. And there is an unbelievable melodic and harmonic depth and sophistication paired with these unbelievable grooves and this infectious rhythmic sensibility that I feel is just mesmerizing and something that I really wanted to bring forward in this recording writ large. And it kind of became the bellwether for the language and the blueprint of what the rest of the album became.
Okay. So this is kind of a co-equal as an influencer with Alberta. Okay.
Certainly.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's have the audience have a chance to listen to a portion of Hazy. Again, that's of such a departure from Alberta, but it has for me a lot of, it's somewhat uplifting, but it has kind of an entrancing nature to it. Do I notice a pedal steel being played there?
You do.
I mean, that carries this sort of, I don't know, it has that important sort of string effect of emotion, almost kind of like it's classical. But
I agree. Yeah, it's whenever I hear great steel guitar, I always feel like, why would anybody ever play any other kind of guitar? It's just the
right. Yeah.
And this record was really a fun opportunity to invite some of my favorite guitar players to join me on a number of different songs. So that was Rich Hinman playing steel guitar as well.
Okay.
Kind of laced into the fabric of the song, there's another great guitar player named Dylan Day who's playing slide guitar. And and on another track, Jeff Parker joins us. So there's some great guitar playing on the album, unrelated to me. So it was really fun to include them as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm going to give you a chance to enlarge upon that and talk a little bit more about the actual musicians. I was kind of focusing on a question that related to the history and the evolution of this recording.
Yes.
Matthew Stevens and I know it represents a transformation of a challenging period in your life and to where you are now, and you've said more grounded and with greater creativity. So more specifically, what were the steps that allowed you to find the musicians that you did, anticipating some of the recordings, and how did that reflect in, I guess, the specific compositions that occurred? The relationship, I guess, between your musician choices and then the resulting composition.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a very delicate ecosystem when you're making a record, and everybody involved needs to be really on the same page and speaking the same shorthand and communicating in a symbiotic way. And, you know, for me, you mentioned this song and Alberta on the surface being somewhat disparate in a certain way. And I think that it's important that when we're making music and writing music and making records, that I think our job is to present with clarity what our taste is and what our perspective is and what our experience is. And so my experience has been pretty varied, and working across a lot of different genres with a lot of different kinds of artists. And so the discrepancies are less evident to me. And I often find myself seeing the ways in which things are connected far more often than the ways that they are not. And so it was important to me to find groups of musicians or a group of musicians that operate in that same ethos. And so that's sort of the community that I'm a part of to begin with. And, you know, going through the musicians who took part in this, I have to start with Eric Dube, who is the drummer and one of the co-producers on the record, who has been a close collaborator of mine for 25 years at this point, and someone whose taste and musicianship I trust inherently. He's an incredible musician. And the other co-producer was Josh Johnson, who you may be familiar with. He's an incredible alto player and also musical director and producer, recently having worked on Michelle and Diego's last two records and Flea's solo record that just came out recently. And also he was the MD for Leon Bridges for a long time. He's done all kinds of stuff. And so these are people who are able to kind of exist in all these different corners of music with the same priorities.
Okay.
In each situation, bringing the same spirit and sense of what's important in music making to all these different situations. And that's really something that resonates with me and that I relate to. So Josh was integral to this. Chris Fishman played keyboard. He's currently on tour with Pat Metheny, another unbelievably gifted, open-minded, younger musician. Kyle Miles is the bass player, who added an enormous amount of depth and feel to this recording. And then there were some great guests, like my mentor for many years, Terry Lynn Carrington, and Jeff Parker as well, and Joel Ross played on a couple songs, which added an enormous amount of vibrancy and dialogue to some really important tracks.
Sure.
So it was not a lot of talking necessary. There was a lot of we were all starting from, I think, a very similar place and similar perspective in terms of what we value in music and what's important. And as far as how the songs evolved, once I had a couple written, I started thinking about who would be a great fit to bring this music to life.
Okay.
And once that was in place, then I kept writing from that spot, you know. So usually I end up with a song or two and start thinking who would be the ideal people to bring this to life. And then once I'm able to hone in on who those people are, I can continue from that place.
Right. Well, it's a special relationship that really musicians really only understand in that room, in many ways. Thanks for sharing. Hey, down a different road, you are a teacher. And so this is kind of an open question, and I've asked this before of other musicians who are actively teaching, but I know you're often so focused, obviously, on instructing the student or the class. What have you learned back from your students, I guess? What insights have they thrown at you? How have they caused you to kind of do a 360 or revelations? So what's the give back with your teaching experience?
It's immense. I think that as you teach, or as I teach, it really forces you to reflect on what is truly important to you and what you believe and who you are.
Right.
You have to become, I have to become really thoughtful, increasingly thoughtful about what I say, how I put forth my perspective, and in doing so, what that perspective truly is. And of course, beyond that, the level of musicianship that I'm witnessing on a daily basis is so unbelievably high. And the enthusiasm and energy around the music is something that I find really inspiring to be around, and it keeps me engaged in a really fresh way. Also, it's exciting to see how, you know, I think improvised music and jazz music has always evolved in tandem with whatever popular music is at the time. And so as that has shifted, it's really interesting to see the ways in which, you know, popular music is currently interacting with improvised music, and that popular music being different than it was when I was 20 years old, and the effect that that's having on young improvisers. So there are a number of ways and new ones that I'm discovering all the time in ways in which I am getting an enormous amount back from the students that I'm lucky enough to engage with on a daily basis.
Well, to feedback on that, just briefly, my whole beginning with my podcast began from asking students from Berklee College of Music to join me for podcasts.
Oh, so, wow.
Through a reference or through a relationship, I had a chance to interview Danilo Perez a long time ago, and he brought me into the Berklee Jazz Institute, and I sat there and I watched some students perform, and they were in a recital, and it was just an incredible experience. So backing up exactly what you've just said, every single one of them was individually inspiring to listen to, particularly when I let them tell their story. How did this all happen? How did you end up with a full scholarship in Boston at the Berklee College of Music? And that story in itself was usually fairly mind-blowing. And then the ability. And so to piggyback on what you're saying, so I'm not an instructor myself, but feeling that incredible sort of inspiration and drive and also appreciation of where they are. They seem to really, for the most part, appreciate where they are at that moment.
I think that really resonates with me too, because, you know, I went to Berklee as a student, and I grew up in Toronto, and I had a pretty wild way of arriving there myself. And so, it really set me up for a career that I would have never otherwise had. Provided me with an experience that I would have never otherwise had. And for that, you know, I'm extremely grateful. And so to be on the other side of that and knowing the impact that it has and how meaningful it can be to young musicians is exceptionally meaningful to me.
Yeah. Well, sadly, we've come to the end of our 30 minutes, but we've covered a lot, and I've enjoyed our open conversation. And again, to the audience, be aware that Matthew Stevens' self-titled album will be released officially May 8th on Candid Records. And as we close, I always like to give musicians an opportunity to talk a little bit about upcoming performances or projects.
Yes.
So I'll let you take that.
Sure. Well, First of all, thanks for having me, Doug. It's been really nice to talk to you. I appreciate your time. As far as what's coming up, yeah, we will be playing some shows in support of this album. The first one being in New York City at the Jazz Gallery on June 5th, and then heading to Europe in the fall, and again in the new year. And in addition to that, I'm continuing to tour with Esperanza Spalding and Terry Lynn Carrington in support of a project we did last year called We Insist 2025, which was a reimagining of the Max Roach record. And additionally, some other stuff coming up with Walter Smith III in the fall, and just out there doing the thing. So,
sure.
Lots of stuff coming up. Yeah.
Sounds very positive. Well, look, in closing, wishing you all the best karma with your career moving forward, and also particularly with this upcoming self-titled release, Matthew Stevens. And
thank you.
And are appreciative always of the artists that join us here on the podcast. And thanks for sharing with us today.
Thanks so much, Doug.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.